In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Old Testament reading this morning, Jacob is wrestling with God, and God puts his hip out of joint. So I bet most of you have had a bone out of joint before. And it's not too pleasurable, right? It doesn't look right often. That scares you in itself. But oftentimes it's just uncomfortable. Well, Jacob, you know, is wrestling with God, and in the middle of it, this is what he has. He has this hip dislocated. Now, I think any normal person would have done what? Given up. I mean, have a hip out of joint, that kind of hinders your ability to wrestle. But, you know, Jacob doesn't. We would have cried uncle, right? We would have tapped out. Not Jacob. He, in fact, when God dislocates his hip, he grips even harder. He grabs on for dear life. And in fact, he's holding on so tight that God has to tell him, "Let me go. Let go of me, Jacob." And Jacob says, "No." I mean, imagine that. God, who, right, is stronger than any of the strongest men ever, God is telling Jacob, "Let go of me." So it must have been some grip that Jacob has on him. So this is the point. Jacob is all out of joint, limping on his hip. It hurts, and yet he will not let go of God. And this is God, by the way. I don't know how you were taught it, Sunday school or whatever. I mean, he appears as a man, but Jacob specifically calls him God. So this is the Son of God before, of course, he became man. So he's wrestling with Jacob. Well, why is Jacob so out of joint? It's not just because of his hip. If you remember the rest of the story, he's wrestling with God because it's the middle of the night, and on the next day he's going to meet his brother Esau. And Esau, when they left each other, it was not on good terms. So he's scared that Esau is going to get revenge on him. He's scared for his family. He's got his whole family with him. He's scared they might, you know, be killed. His hip's out of joint. His future's unknown. He's clinging for dear life. And in fact, it almost may look a little embarrassing. Like, ugh, what an embarrassing scene. Jacob on his last leg here, literally, clinging on for dear life. Is that embarrassing? Well, actually, it's not. That is faith. That's the faith of Jacob. He's out of joint, but he will not let go of God. Now, the Canaanite woman in the gospel reading, she's the same exact way, okay? She's all out of joint as well. Everything is wrong. She comes to Jesus and says, "My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now, that word's pretty important, severely. There's another time in the gospels where a man comes up to Jesus and his son is possessed. And he says, "We don't know what to do because my son, when he's possessed by the demon, will sometimes try to throw himself into a fire to kill himself or throw himself into water to drown himself." So imagine how this mother is feeling if her daughter is severely oppressed. Everything is out of joint, right? And she's suffering. So this woman, in her own way, doesn't physically wrestle, but she definitely wrestles with Jesus. She begs and begs and begs. And this time again, it's embarrassing. I don't know how you can't read that text and not be a little embarrassed. Because here she is. I mean, it's just an uncomfortable, awkward scene. The disciples, they're like, "Please, just get rid of her. Just send her away. This is so uncomfortable. How embarrassing. She just won't give up." Embarrassing, right? Well, no. That's faith. She's not embarrassed. As it happens, see, the same thing for Jacob and this Canaanite woman is the same thing for us. We're out of joint too, in different ways, all of us. But we're all out of joint. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing when we don't have everything together the way we'd like. But we're out of joint. Is it embarrassing? No, not to the one who has faith in Jesus, because we just cling on to him. So like I said, the problem with this story of the Canaanite woman is that Jesus looks like he's mean, he looks like he's heartless, and he looks like he's insulting. If you were going to, you know, if you were talking to somebody that did not know who Jesus was, you would not read this story, because this would not come off like nice Jesus like we like him to be. He isn't. So he ignores her, first of all. You know, she's begging, help me, and he just ignores her. Then, a second time, she's still crying out, and he says, I wasn't sent for the likes of her. And the third time, he goes so far as to her face, call her, essentially, a dog. He says, it's not right to take the bread and throw it to the dogs. So it's embarrassing, right? The way Jesus treats her, it's embarrassing the way she won't give up. Or is it? See, it's not embarrassed. Jesus isn't embarrassed. Does he look embarrassed when you heard me read it? No, he's not embarrassed. Is the woman embarrassed? No, not at all. She's not embarrassed one bit. In fact, the truth is that she knows that everything Jesus says to her is true. But it doesn't bother her one bit. So what does she say? You know what, Jesus? You're right. And you know what you call that? Humility. That's humility. Yes, Jesus, you're right about me. My life is out of joint. Make no mistake, I'm in a bad place. I put myself in this place. My daughter is pressed by demons because of me. Yes, you're right. In other words, she doesn't say, wait a minute, Jesus. You know, I'm not that bad. Or she doesn't say, you know, hey, watch what you're saying about me. Come on, that's rude. Or she doesn't say, I'm going to write you up for harassment. She says, yes, Lord, you're right. She doesn't deserve anything from Jesus, nothing at all. She doesn't play the victim either, right? That's what we like to do today. This is American culture. We play the victim, right? Woe is me. I deserve everybody's sympathy, but not her. Nope. She doesn't play the victim. She says, yes, Lord, you are right. But I know you. I know you're gracious and merciful. Help me. And he does. This Lent, as we're doing this series on the seven sins, we're learning that the root of all sin is pride. That is the ultimate root from where all other sins flow, because pride, of course, is loving yourself instead of loving God. So it's the root of all sins. But on the opposite, on the good side, on the good tree, the root of all good works is humility. Now, humility, when I say humility, of course, I mean Jesus. He gives us humility. Proverbs says this a number of times. It says, the fear of the Lord, which is humility, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this Canaanite woman is just that. She is an example of humility. Yes, Lord, you're right about me. But even just give me the crumbs from your table, just the crumbs, and that's all I need. St. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, especially humble yourself when things are out of joint. Don't play the victim. Don't demand your rights. Humble yourself, and don't let go. So this humility, as I said, you're not going to find this humility somewhere, like all of a sudden you're going to find yourself humble. It only comes from one place. It comes from Jesus. And if anything was ever out of joint in the world, it was with Jesus, right? The Son of God being rejected, being ignored, being insulted. That's out of joint. Or what about Good Friday? The very Son of God being arrested, convicted, whipped, you know, made to carry his cross, nailed, hung, pierced. Man, if anything was ever out of joint, that was it. The Son of God dying on a cross. And yet, look at Jesus. Does he get all out of joint about it? You know, does he play the victim, demand everybody pity him? Does he demand his rights? Hey, I'm the Son of God, and throw a big fit about it, get all bent out of shape? No. He says, yes, Lord. Remember in the garden? Not my will, but yours be done. Or on the cross, into your hands I commend my spirit. He humbled himself, trusted God his Father, and on that day, that out of joint day, God was setting everything back into place. Humility is the virtue that produces all other virtues, and it is ours. It's ours. We have it. It's been given to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. You've been joined to Jesus. So Jacob, he had to wrestle with God. And the Canaanite woman, she had to beg and beg and beg. But you and I, we have already been intimately joined with Jesus. We don't have to beg. Where were you intimately joined with Him? In holy baptism. That's our theme for this 2018. I am baptized into Christ. So, yeah, you look at the world. Yes, it's out of joint. The world is out of joint. Man, these school shootings, right? Just no, nonsensical. We have nothing to explain them. Or the suicide bombings, or, you know, our nasty politics, governments that are evil and corrupt, broken families, flooding, you know, poverty. The world is out of joint, and we're out of joint. In our own lives, we're carrying around this out-of-joint sinful nature, which always has to fight against our sins, fighting against our greed and our selfishness and our pride, fighting against the devil, right? So it's out of joint. But we could get all out of joint about it. We could get all bent out of shape, start blaming God for all of it, you know, blaming everybody else, playing the victim, demanding our rights. Or we could realize that God has already joined us to His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We can say with Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I'm all out of joint. Yes, I'm undeserving and I'm scared, but You, Lord, are good." That's what Jacob does. That's what the Canaanite woman does. They just grab on and won't let go. "I know You are good. I know You are merciful. You're gracious and loving and forgiving." And that's what we do as Christians every single day. You know that part in the catechism? Actually, I think I put it on the back of the sermon insert where it says, "What does such baptizing with water indicate?" And it says it indicates that every day, now this is my words, every day we're going to wake up and be a new man. The old sinful nature is going to be washed away, and every day we're going to wake up a new man in Christ, joined with Jesus. So every day, our great physician, our great doctor, sets our bones and our souls back into place. He says, "Here, you're with Jesus, my Son, now." Right? We're out of joint, but we don't let go of Jesus, our Savior. Every morning, we beg for forgiveness. We beg for help, for humility, for strength, and we know that He's going to give it. Because there is only one, of course, who can set this out-of-joint world back into place. It's not you and it's not me. It's the one that Jacob wouldn't let go of, and it's the one that the Canaanite woman cling to for dear life. And you and I are joined to Him. I am baptized into Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.